Welcome to the Every Nation New Jersey podcast. Every Nation is a Bible-believing, multi-ethnic, non-denominational church hoping to transform the world one life at a time. We hope you enjoy this podcast.
It's kind of like we've filled this into our Casket Empty series, and it's really about Advent. And if you remember, Advent are it's the first four Sundays leading up to Christmas. And so Advent, the name, it means arrival or the coming. And we spent the first week and we talked about it was the advent of hope. And if you recall, remember that for the Christian, that our hope is anchored in a blood-covered cross in an empty tomb. Like that something happened 2,000 years ago and we can be assured of hope. And then as well, we have a hope that's anchored into a very confident future. And this is that Jesus, he said he was going to come, and he did. And he also said, I'm coming again, and he's going to take us with him. And so we have a confident hope. And then number two, last week, remember, we talked about peace. And we said that peace, biblical peace, was kind of different than kind of our cultural peace, where cultural peace, it means just there's like a kind of, there's nothing harassing us or whatever. There's just nothing bothering us. But the reality is, biblical peace says this, that there's nothing broken and there's nothing lacking in our life. And we know that right here on this planet, it's like at times, man, peace is very fragile and it can shatter in a moment. But Jesus one day is coming to bring ultimate shalom or peace to his people. And so this is the part where I get to play with fire. And so we've been lighting these Advent candles. And so we've done hope. Let me see here if I can get that going. So we did hope. And then we did peace. Let's see. And now we are in, let's see if we can do this one. By the way, you can shout out my wife who made these things. By the way, Jimmy dropped it though, honey. So if you want to get mad at him, all right, it's his fault. So, so we're going to take a look at joy here this morning. And just let me give you a working definition for us this morning so we can kind of all be on the same page. I'm defining joy like this. Joy is a deep and abiding soul satisfaction that's rooted in God. A deep and abiding soul satisfaction that's rooted in God. And so it's much more than happiness. Happiness is included in joy, but how many know you can have joy when happiness is nowhere to be found? And hopefully we'll talk about that a little bit this morning. My text will be in Luke chapter 2, and we actually read it last week. Luke 2, verse 10, it says this, and this is as you remember the scene where the angels, the sky rips open at night, and then the angels have this message to the shepherds, and it says, "And the angel said to them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people." Not just joy, but great joy. In other words, there's a volume, there's a super abundance of joy that I'm about to bring to you, and I don't want to give it away as well, but joy might not be a feeling or a mood, it just might be a person, and that's what I want to talk to you about this morning. So let's do this. Can we agree that the Christmas season, it's really a unique time in our culture where we do kind of like weird things we would never do like during the rest of the year? Like, I don't know if you've ever paid attention to that. Like, we just dropped like 50, 60 bucks, and we bought a dead tree. And I drug it into my home and put it right in the middle of our living room. And so there's a tree I just put in my living room. Did I mention I have three male dogs? All right, so that's just asking for trouble in there. But we just couldn't be more happy to do it. And we're like, want to tell her, come see our tree, you know? And so that's like, if you pay, that's kind of weird. I think you would admit you eat weird things that you would normally not eat. I remember 2 years ago, and I pray she's not podcasting this, but my mother-in-law was so excited to send us with fruit cake or fruit loaf. Is that what it's called? You know, that I mean, it just weighs about 5 tons, and like it's still in the freezer, I think. But once again, Mom, I hope you're not listening to this one. Here's another one. Listen, eggnog. Like, there's nobody in July like, you know what I want? Eggnog. You know, you just don't do that. It's kind of like the season and stuff. Would you agree we're just a little bit more loose on our diets than, like, I'm usually like the disciplined guy. I have crushed an entire pumpkin bread loaf at my house, and guess what? I'm not even feeling guilty about it, all right? It's Christmas, man. This is what we do. Our music choices, like you listen to weird stuff during the holidays that you would never listen to. So I'm in my gym, I got my iPod on, and I'm listening, joy to the world, right, and doing all that, and you would never do that stuff. I've even shared with you, one of my most intimate secrets is that I've probably watched about 8 Hallmark movies since the Advent season began. And I'm not even ashamed of that, because it's Christmas, and we do weird stuff. My last point will be this, is I've been what's called a tightwad by my wife. I prefer the term frugal, but when Christmas rolls around, it's like, hey, baby, let's let it roll. Let's get that credit card bill up there, and let's make things happen, and we kind of do that stuff. Why? Because the season, it's funny, it like puts a pause on things for us. I love one quote I read was this, is Christmas is the delightful disruption of the way things normally go. Christmas is the delightful disruption of the way things normally go. And can we agree? It's weird. Like, people are just a little more kind. People are a little more generous. People, can I dare say, are a little more joyful during this time. And so, I would submit to you, and another guy much smarter than me would submit to you, that honestly, that's the way it should always be. So there's a guy named G.K. Chesterton. He's a brilliant mind. He was kind of the precursor to this guy, C.S. Lewis, you hear me talk about often. So G.K. Chesterton, he's going to say this. He's going to say that that joy should be the fundamental posture of the Christian. In other words, it shouldn't just be some little interruption of these little moments and pockets of joy, but rather that should be our posture all the time, and melancholy, sadness, should only be the brief interruptions through the fundamental part of our life, which is joy. Let me read you a quote by him. It says this, some of the words used in it, it's written in the 1900s, it says this, the mass of men have been forced to be gay, so please understand what that means back in the 1900s. The mass of men have been forced to be gay about the little things, but sad about the big ones. Nevertheless, it is not native to man to be so. Man is more himself, man is more manlike when joy is the fundamental thing in him, and grief the superficial. Melancholy should be an innocent interlude, a tender and fugitive frame of mind. Praise should be the permanent pulsation of the soul. And so, listen, I tend to agree with him that joy should be the posture of the Christian. It should mark the Christian life. And once again, I don't want to confuse joy with just kind of thin happiness. They're different ideas. Remember that joy is the deep sense of soul satisfaction rooted in God. And so Jesus, if I'm not sure how many of have like any Jewish friends or whatnot, but in the Jewish religion, you know, there's 3 pilgrimage festivals. And one of them is what's called the Feast of Tabernacles or the Feast of Booths. And listen, back in the day, the Jewish world would converge on Jerusalem. Just thousands and thousands of people. And they would take 1 week and they would party. And I mean party. So what happens is they would set up these giant candelabras in around Jerusalem. In fact, they held thousands and thousands of gallons of oil, and they would actually use the priest's robes as the wicks. Does that give you an idea how big these lights are? And so Jerusalem, the night sky would be lit up, and so people could just party and enjoy and celebrate the goodness of God throughout the night, and they would do this for a week straight. And then, if you can imagine, after that week of just festivity, joy, family, celebrating God, and then that last night, as the lights begin to go out and the festival ends, and into that, we see Jesus appear in John chapter 8. And he says this, as the darkness creeps in, he says, me, I'm the light of the world. See, what Jesus is saying is, hey, I'm here to keep the party going. The lights might be going out, but I'm here to make sure that the band keeps playing and that joy continues. Because the reality, if we don't get that, here's what's going to happen on December 26th. You're going to be a little poorer, a little heavier, and that little subtle, what psychologists call the Christmas blues, you're going to be like, wow, that's it, it's over. And you're going to feel that, or you can have this unending, unmoving, unshakable joy in Jesus Christ. And so that's what we're after. There's a guy, Dabo Swinney. He's the coach of the Clemson Tigers, the national champions Clemson Tigers. And they've once again made the NCAA football playoffs. But if you don't know Dabo Swinney, he is a ferocious, ferocious follower of Jesus Christ. And so if you're on his team, you're going to hear about Jesus. In fact, they had some people protesting that. And I don't know if you know, but down in Clemson, down in the South, they don't play. Like, no, we're going to do this with our players, right? And so he's trying to institute into his players the steadfastness of a joy-filled life. Because there's ups and downs in a season and in life. But joy is the thing that lets you enjoy and drink deeply from the good times and will anchor you through the bad times. And so he has this acronym, because Christians are weird and we always use acronyms, of joy that he shares with his players. And it's the perspective and the priorities for joy to abound. He says, J, it begins with Jesus. And then O is for others. And then lastly, you're on the bottom, Y is for you. And if you can keep those priorities right, then joy will abound. Here's the problem. Most of us aren't into joy. We're into yaj, right? That it's about you, maybe others, and then if we're lucky, Jesus. And you cannot get to joy if you're walking in yaj, okay? And so this is unbelievably critically important. And so we want Jesus to be first and to be primary. If you remember when God designed us, you remember the two great commands? Love God and love people. Because if our eyes are up and onto others, now we're experiencing joy can flow in and through our lives. But if your eyes are looking in, you are stuck where you are, okay? And so we want to find joy. And so let me give you just a few things, how I feel like are just kind of the backbone to the spiritual force of joy. And let me start with this. Number one is there's a joy in knowing. A joy in knowing. Like the Bible will say some things that feel impossible. Like James, in the book of James, he'll say this. He says, to count it all joy when you fall into various trials and troubles. Now, I don't know about you. When I hear James say that, I'm like, you're crazy. So he's like saying, man, you know, your bank account goes crazy or you lose your job. And he's like, treat it as joy. I'm like, that dude is nuts. He's like living in another world, or that dude knows something. And so if knowing can actually help cultivate, and here's some things you need to know. Joy knows God. Joy knows God. Do you know the Apostle Paul? Can we agree he probably knew God? He says this, he describes God in 1 Timothy, he calls him as the blessed God. You can translate into the happy God. Like in all my years growing up in church, I'd never had pictured God as the happy God before. I pictured him as the angry God, the you better do what I say or else God, but not the happy God. But Paul says that's who he is. Here's another one. Did you know that God is Trinity? He's Father, Son, and Spirit, and guess what? There's perfect joy in the Godhead, in the Trinity. Did you know this? Like the Father's always rejoicing over the Son and the Spirit. Look at my Son. I'm so well pleased with him. And the Son's always pointing to the Father. I only do what the Father says, right? And there's this joy that goes in and out throughout the Godhead. Here's something else we find is that in the joy found in the Godhead, it starts spilling over into creation. And then when God begins to create the heavens and the earth, do you know that joy is present at creation? Job chapter 38, verse 7, it'll say this. It says that when the angels saw God creating the heavens, the earth, the stars, the moons, it says this, that the angels shouted for joy. It says they're like, this is amazing. Are you seeing this? Like Gabriel and Michael, they're like, that's crazy. Look at that. And so they're rejoicing and shouting for joy over all God's doing. Here's another one. Is this, can we agree that if you had children, have you ever seen a kid's ability to rejoice in monotony? Have you ever seen that? Like if you had a kid, you'd know what I'm talking about. Like they want to watch the same video over and over and over. So you need to pray for me. I'm forever scarred. I grew up in the Barney era. And so I've forever got that horrible song trapped in my head. I love you. You love, I always joke, I'm trying to play hockey, trying to be mean and tough, and I hear, I love you. Like it's hard to be ferocious and when that thing's playing in your head. And maybe your kid's a little bit later, so you had what's known as Blue's Clues. And so if you've not heard of Blue's Clues, they play the same episode every day for a week. So they're driving home into your kid. And so, but kids just love that stuff. And here's what's amazing. I think God's a little bit like your kid, that God has the ability to rejoice in monotonous things. Like, and aren't you glad for it? Like, he says, morning, let's do it again. Morning, let's do it again. Hey, the sun to arise, let's do it again and again. The flowers in the field, again, 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 over and over. God reproduces these things, and he rejoices in it, and it's to the glory of his name. I love what, once again, this is a quote from Chesterton. He says this about God. It says, it may be that he, that being God, has the eternal appetite for infancy or childlikeness. He says, but it's for we have sinned and grown old, and our Father is younger than we. Isn't that amazing? It's like you and I get bored with things like that, but not God. Again, again, again. And he has the ability to rejoice in all of it. Let me read for you. Here's something else. Is much like God has these childlike characteristics that we should emulate. Here's what else you need to know is this: is that you know that you are a celebrated child of Almighty God. Did you know that? If you're a Christ follower in here today, God refers to you as His child. I wanted to show. Can I just show Sherry? Can you pop up the baby video? Sherry, that's good. Is it unbelievable how contagious something like that is? And we've all shared videos like that all over the place. But here's what I want you to, like, there's something so pure about that. And we just, they said too, it's you can't help it, but then you start laughing and you start crying, and just as all of you did. But here's the thing, do you recognize, did you feel how the children, they are utterly unaware of self. And they're consumed by everything that's before them. I love too, and is that a child is they're just so uniquely aware of the fact that they're celebrated and loved, and they need to do nothing to earn it, but they just receive that love. And so the reality is, God Almighty has from the beginning revealed Himself to you and to me as Father. Like that familial type of love, that's how He reveals Himself to us. And so it even says this, that if you want to receive the kingdom of God, the only way you can come is like that, like a little child. laughing, full of joy, receiving what God has graciously given to us. So my wife will amen me on this one. Is my wife is not a singer. Like, she does not like she doesn't sing and do any of that stuff. In fact, if we were doing the women's karaoke night and you gave her the option to come sing or die, she would choose death. Amen, right? She would choose death. And so she doesn't do that. However, for both of our children, when they were born, she made up songs, and when she would change them, she would sing over our children, and she would do that. I won't embarrass my daughter nor my wife and sing it right now, but do you know God does that? Let me read to you Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 17. It says this: "The Lord your God is in your midst, a mighty one who will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you by his love. He will exult over you with loud singing." See, this is the posture of God towards you and I. And when you know you're the celebrated child of God, that begins to do something for joy in your life. Here's another one. Joy is knowing that you're forgiven, right? Joy is knowing that you're forgiven in God. When you know you deserve a spanking and you get a hug, that is transformative to our heart, and it cultivates joy within. The best example I'm going to give to you, my poster boy about forgiveness is King David. If you're not familiar with this story, it says that David was a man after God's own heart. However, he had issues, not even like you and I, probably varsity issues, because he fell in love with another man's wife, had that man killed, and had an adulterous affair with her, and then hid it from everybody until he was outed by the prophet Samuel. But here's what I want you to read with me, Psalm chapter 51, verses 8 and 12. It should be on the screen. And here's what David pens after he was outed by the prophet Samuel, aware of his sin and his brokenness. He writes this song, and he says in verse 8, he says, "Let me hear joy and gladness." So once again, the fundamental posture of the follower of Christ, the child of God, is joy. He's like, "I've sinned against God, and I no longer hear joy and gladness." He says, "Let me hear it again." It says, "Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones that you have broken rejoice. Hide your face from my sins and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me with a willing spirit." We see David's cry. Just, "Lord, restore to me the joy as I'm restored back in relationship with you." Repentance will always lead to joy. Here's number two. I wanted us to look at this. I'm going to quote C.S. Lewis, and he says this, that joy is the serious business of heaven. So C.S. Lewis, he wrote a book. It was called Surprised by Joy, and it's actually a story of his conversion to become a follower of Jesus Christ. And he says he was just surprised by, he thought it was going to be a bunch of "don't do that, you don't do this." And he was surprised by the joy of knowing God. Oddly enough, later on in his life, his wife's name, he would marry Joy Davidson, who would become his wife. And so guys would always tease him, "Surprised by joy, huh?" And so anyways, that's just a little nerdy pastor joke. But the Bible's pretty serious. Nehemiah, the prophet, will say the joy of the Lord is your strength. And so joy is the serious business of heaven, because it's about you living strong Christian lives, living strong in God. And so I'm going to make a bold statement here. Joy makes godliness easy. So can we agree, like, to live godly is difficult? Like, some stuff's real easy, and other stuff, I still want to do that. I still want to do this. So let me share a little story. This is by Ravi Zacharias. So if you don't like this story, you get mad at Ravi. Don't get mad at me. And so Ravi Zacharias, he tells the story of a businessman who's actually he's flying New York to L.A., coast to coast. He's living large. He's in first class. Woman sits down next to him in the seat. And as the plane's going down, they begin to chit-chat and talk. And until suddenly, this guy, out of the blue, he solicits this woman. And he says, "Listen, I'm an extremely wealthy man." He says, "When we get to L.A., I will give you $100,000 if you will sleep with me when we get there. And she's like, she's insulted, kind of outraged. But as the flight went on, her mind started to play. 100 grand's a lot of money. And so she starts thinking about it. And finally she says, what would that look like? And so he begins to paint a picture for her of what that would look like. She agrees to do the deal. The landing gear goes down. They land at LAX. And as they're deboarding the plane, the guy turns around and he says, I'm really not a millionaire. He says, I'm really not that rich, but I do have some money. He says, would you agree to do it for $100? She's outraged. She says, what kind of woman do you think I am? And his response was, I think we've already established that. Right now, we're just haggling over the price. And here's the reason why I say that. What's your sellout point? Listen, all of us have one. Some of them are a little bit higher than the others, but here's what I assure you. If joy is present and cultivated in your life and in your heart, suddenly no treasure on earth is great enough for the treasure you have in God. And so I want to read for you Matthew 13, verse 44. Matthew 13, 44 says this, the kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and covered up. Then, get this, in his joy, he goes and sells all that he has and he buys that field. Do you see that? It's a greater treasure in God. Like, I don't care what you're offering me, that pales in comparison to what I get in Christ. And so joy, it makes godliness easy. Here's another one. Joy makes evangelism easy. I'm going to quote, you don't believe me, so I'm going to quote Mother Teresa. You have to believe her. So Mother Teresa is going to say this. She says, joy is a net of love by which we catch souls. She says, the one filled with joy preaches without preaching. Come on, isn't that true? Now listen, I'm going to out my boy, Jeffrey. So Jeffrey's in the back. So Jeffrey's in our bass player. Have you seen this young man behind here hitting on that bass? He's out there, just laughing. And like, he just don't care who sees or nothing. We really were scared he'd be too distracted, so we put him behind the pole. Not really, not at all. In fact, we're like, we need to get Jeffrey out front so people can see joy on that brother. And so here's something amazing. I don't know if you've thought about this, but in Acts chapter 16, the Apostle Paul and Silas, his sidekick, they're beaten and put in jail. And as they're in prison, the unexpected happens. They begin to sing. They begin to sing for joy. And then suddenly after that, the Bible is clear that the earth shakes and suddenly all the prison doors are opened up. And I don't know if you paid attention to this, but do you know what? None of the prisoners left. Isn't that weird? Like if I get out, I'm like, I'm out of here, man. We're going to run. But no, none of them left because joy on those two individuals was so captivating and they wound up planting the Philippian church. And so joy is a powerful evangelism tool. And then number three is this. There's a joy in abiding in the Lord. Let me read to you Psalm 16, verse 11. It says this, you make known to me the path of life. In your presence, there is fullness of joy. And so I think you'll find this. If you have children, you know what I'm talking about. Like you're kind of cognizant of who your kid hangs around. Because whoever they hang around, they're going to become like. And I got news for you. It's not just the kids that happens to. You're going to become like the people you surround yourself with. And you just can't help it. It happens by itself. So I lived in Canada for 4 years. God help me. I started saying A 4 minutes into being there. A? 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 Like just couldn't stop saying it. I've been a chaplain for the New York Jets since about 2009. So I started hanging with the guys in the locker room, and everybody's bro, 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 bro. So I start broing everybody now. I'm broing the Lord. I'm broing you. I'm broing my wife. And then I just found out recently, 2 years ago, that I was saying it wrong, that it's bruh and not bro. So they're helping with that. But the scripture's clear that joy is actually a fruit of the Holy Spirit. That in other words, as you abide in Christ, that there's something happens that gets birthed on the inside of you. And I don't know if you've ever paid attention to fruit. Like I don't just normally go watch a fruit tree or something like that. But did you ever notice a fruit tree doesn't struggle? Like, you've never gone to the apple tree and he's like, boop, and then out comes an apple. He doesn't do that. It's just this easy overflow of being rooted in that happens. And there's a component of joy that just by abiding in Christ, in his word, with his people, that just almost by osmosis, that there's this joy that starts to fill our life. But I don't want to romanticize it, because at times, joy must be fought for. That you have to fight for joy in your life. And to kind of articulate that for me, I'm going to bring up our very own Joyce, one of the deacons at our church, and I wanted her to share her testimony about how she had to fight for joy. Mama Joyce, do you want to come up here? Come on, Joyce.
Journal that I have been keeping, and he just said it, and I showed it to Vitas. 7 years ago I wrote this, and he just said it a while ago. I'm here this morning just to tell you of my journey with cancer. In 2012, I found out that I had breast cancer. That was just a disruption of my life, because I was planning to go to Europe for 15 days, and I'm saying, Lord, what is going to happen here now? Anyway, excuse me. I said to myself, it's in the Lord's hand. Doctor called me and tell me he would get in touch with my other doctor, so I called Pastor Donnie. When I got there, the doctor said to me, only a family member can go in. So I turned to her and says, you're a family member. So I said to the doctor, says, well, is she your sister? Says, no, she's a family member. She says, well, only family member. So she's coming in with me. Anyway, I turned to her and I says, we are sisters, but our father is Hawaiian. So don't you see the resemblance? The resemblance, you know, they're over there. I'm a little darker because I'm from Jamaica, but her father is so, the color, she's a little darker. It was in the summer. So we got there. Our first appointment was very, you know, we got there late because we, Pastor Daddy and I was praying. Anyway, when we got there, the doctor thought that I would have lost my nerves and anything. So I just said, it's in the hands of the Lord. Whatever you say I'm to do, that's what I'm going to do. And going to Europe, it says I'm not going to change the plan because I couldn't get the money back. Anyway, she says, I can do the surgery and you can go. And then when you come back, we'll go from there. Saints, let me tell you, it wasn't an easy road. But because I trusted in God in so many ways, and I know that he's my rock. And as I was going through, I'm not preaching, all these things I wrote down in 2012, know God's will, to grow in the Lord, to have strength and comfort and hope, to shape yourself and life correctly, to be able to see clearly, to build faith, to have joy, to understand God's love for me. And then all of a sudden I said, what is joy? What is joy? And I wrote it down. Psalm 16 and verse 11. Pastor Adam, just nobody saw this book because I journal every single stages that he go through. And he says, joy, thou wilt show me the path of life in my presence. In the fullness of joy in thy right hand, there are pleasures of forevermore. And I'm saying this to say that when you trust and you hope in God. Pastor Daddy was there with me at times. I couldn't even walk. Chemotherapy is not easy. I couldn't eat, I couldn't walk. But I never give up hope, because the joy of the Lord is my strength. It was my strength then, and it is my strength. And as we listen to Pastor Adam's message, may the joy, may you find joy and peace and knowing that, you know, you can be happy because somebody can give you a gift and you're happy about it. But if you have the joy that's inside of you, nothing can take that away. I have to fight for mine, because at times, you know, it's good when you're healthy. You can rattle the scriptures off. When you get sick and everything turn upside down, that's when you know what ground you're standing on. And I am so glad that I was rooted and grounded and not have happiness, but have the joy of the Lord, which is my strength.
Yeah, that's great. Joyce, tell me about your outfit. Oh,
I need to tell you about, you know, people might be wondering why I'm wearing this. In the hospital, I went to St. Clair's, and I had the chemotherapy, and when I come in, there were people who would be crying and complaining and doing everything. And I said, Lord, it's all in your hand, because he promised me. And now I'm putting God to the test, because if he fails me, that's his problem, not mine. If he fails me at this time, because he makes all these promises, I will be with you. I'll heal you. I'll take care of you. And now I'm going to doubt him. This dress I wore, this is 7 years old. It's a little snug now. And they would call me Miss Sunshine. Because when I get in the hospital, I never complain, even when the pain. Pastor Daddy come there and they couldn't find me. I was so dehydrated. And when I called her and she came, she said, where is she? She said, she's in the bathroom, on the floor. They said, hook her up to the IV. I never at any time complained that God, why me? Because it was a process. He was refining my life. And today, I am so happy that I was afflicted, so I know the statutes of the Lord.
Thanks, Joyce. Thank you, Joyce. And then just so you know, Joyce, the name Joyce, it means to rejoice. And thank you for living that out. I'm going to switch this one off now. And you got so here's what I wanted to point out is this. Sometimes you have to search for joy, for nuggets of joy in your life. This was kind of revolutionary to me. Do you know that generosity and goodness, it's woven into the creation? I don't know if you've ever paid attention to that, but the generosity and the goodness of God is woven into the creation. See, because you and I we need sunshine for light, and God wove in his generous sun to us, that we need food to eat. And do you know, plants, for whatever reason, they grow here on the earth. Why? But just for us. And so we see that, but sometimes you have to fight to see what's good and what's right in your life. So my children, they had this spiritual gift to find their Christmas presents. So I don't know if you have kids like this, so they would become their mission to find the gifts. So when we were living in a Manhattan apartment, you get like two rooms. There's not like a lot of places to hide stuff. And so I remember one time we were walking our dogs out in Manhattan, and my wife and I get back, and we go to get into our apartment, and the door's locked. And we're like, hey, open the door. What's going on, girls? 1 minute. And so they're like, got all their gifts out and kind of doing that thing. And a lot of you people, like a lot of us, we need that spiritual gift on our life, that we need to go and begin to train our eyes and to find the tokens and the goodness of God in the earth around us. And then the last thing I wanted to see is this, is that joy is a decision. That joy is a decision. Need to hear me on this. You are not a victim. There are no victims in the kingdom of God. That you and I, we can't control our circumstances, but we can choose our response to our circumstances. I'm going to read Habakkuk chapter 3, verses 17. How many know it's an amazing thing if I can read Habakkuk on a Sunday morning? Verse 17 says, though the fig tree should not blossom, no fruit be on the vines, the produce of the olive fail, and the fields yield no food, the flock be cut off from the fold, and there be no herd in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will take joy in the God of my salvation. See, Habakkuk knows I'm not a victim. I get to choose how I respond. And as for me and my house, I choose joy. I choose joy. I pray that over every day in my morning prayer time. Lord, I choose laughter and joy for my life today. I'm going to ask Kim and the team to come up, because we're going to go out on joy. We're going to sing a little joy. So Kim and the team, Jeffrey, we want to see you dancing around on there, brother. I want to leave you with one thing, and then I'll pray over us, and then we'll stand and sing. Kim, will you close us off then? Yeah, great. My last point is this. I think I said the other one was the last, but our joy is rooted in a future hope. I think that's super important, that while our life might not be playing out exactly how we want, we just know, remember, that today, this is as bad as it gets for the believer, but it only gets better for you and for me. And so I'm not sure how many of you are aware of the news about the Peloton outrage. Anybody? You know the bike, the Peloton, and like Today Show, Twitterverse, like just, and if you're not familiar, you can Google it later, and but the world was just out of sorts because a woman was riding on her Peloton bike, and because her husband got her a Peloton for a Christmas gift, insinuating it was sexist and all that kind of stuff. So all that aside, here's what I, like, I just think some of the stuff those Peloton people do are brilliant, because they're convincing you that all you need is that bike. It's a bike with an iPad on it, all right? You know that's all it is, right? So, like, your other bikes, exercise bikes that didn't work, this is not going to be any different. You know it still hurts, right? And still, 5 a.m. is still 5 a.m. And so, but I love it. They've sold us this bill of goods that, man, you just get that, and this is going to be awesome. But I love they have at least some kind of honesty. And here's one of their campaign slogans. They say this. They say, our kind of joy feels different. Their point being, yeah, it's going to hurt. It's going to hurt a little bit. But there's a greater joy when you're done. And it shows them when they're done, letting it all happen. And there's this soul satisfaction of, I did that. And soul satisfaction knowing, I got six-pack abs, right? You know, that type of thing. But the Bible's clear. Jesus says this. He says, for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. And for you and me, though we might get our bumps and bruises and stuff right now, we know we have expectation of a glorious hope, the promise.
Thanks for listening to the Every Nation New Jersey podcast. For more information on our church, or if you'd like to give a financial gift, just go to our website, emcnj.org.